I can now do a... My other, doing a dedication is a dangerous thing almost at times, because the one thing I had going through my head the whole time was, don't drop the baby, don't drop the baby, don't drop the baby. And I was like, if you drop her. So we're looking at this new series, A Transformed Life. I'm excited because we know that over 200 of you have signed up to receive the book. And just to know that over the next 8 weeks or so, 200 or more lives could actually be changed and transformed. Because we're focusing on three key critical life questions as we go through this series. Questions that I'm sure each and every one of us has asked of ourselves. And I'm sure that as Molly grows up, we'll be asking many questions of her mum and dad. And often the question is, why? Why? And no matter what answer you give, why? But these are three key questions that most of us will have asked at some point. The first one is, who am I? And you might be sitting there going, well, if you don't know who you are, how do you expect us to answer that? Where do I fit? And what am I actually living for? These three questions concern our need to know our identity, where we belong, and what our purpose actually is, which are all vital for us knowing about our whole existence and our security in our life, and knowing that we are actually part of society. And what I think is also really exciting is that our children and young people are also following through this series as well. Here's the scary thing. If they completely grab hold of this and of the topics we're looking at, they could leave us adults behind when they start to realize and live out what they learn. I think that's, on the one hand, really exciting. On the other hand, really scary. That if my kids come to me and go, do you not know what God says about that? I'm like, okay. So it's important that we're clear and secure about these issues. And if we're not, it can be a little bit like the story of the ugly duckling. And I'm sure most of you have heard this story. It's a well-known tale by Hans Christian Andersen, where there's this ugly duckling that is born into a family of ducks, and it soon realizes it's a bit bigger and a bit more wobbly than the other ducklings. They all start picking on it because it doesn't have the nice yellow fluffy fur, and kind of push it out of the way. And eventually this poor duckling gets to the point where it goes, I don't actually fit in with this family. And this family of ducklings eventually force the ugly duckling out. And it keeps going around trying to find a place where it fits in until it gets to the point feeling completely lonely and out of its own and isolated from the rest of society. It goes away into hiding in the reeds and spends a very long cold winter on its own. And as the lake thaws and spring comes, it suddenly sees this beautiful flock of swans come and land on the lake. And in one last-ditch attempt to find acceptance, it swims over to the swans. And suddenly these swans accept it, and it's completely amazed. Why would they actually do this? And it's only when they tell it to look at its reflection that he realizes he's not an ugly duckling at all, because over the winter he has grown up to be a majestic swan. Many of us at times can feel like a bit like the ugly duckling, confused about our identity, struggling to fit in with society, not knowing our life purpose. And as a result, we end up defining ourselves by how others have treated us and allow their rejection of us to define who we actually are. For the words and the actions they've done against us to actually shape who we believe we actually are. Or we can get so caught up in the comparison trap that we look at other people and we see what they have. We see that they are more successful. We see that they are more popular. We see that they do far more than us on Facebook. They have such a better social life than us that we end up feeling inferior. Or we assess our worth through social media, as I just mentioned, whether it's by seeing how many friends everybody else has on Facebook, or how many followers they have on Twitter, or how many likes our friends get to their pictures compared to ours. And sometimes we get confused by defining ourselves by our net worth, how much we earn in our job, what car we can afford, where we can afford to go on holiday, what clothes and what labels we can afford to buy. We get measured by our job or our social status or by the things that we put on. And we suddenly realize it doesn't all quite fit. That's what happens if we try to define our identity, belonging and purpose by looking in those wrong places. If we want to find the right answers to those questions, who am I, where do I fit, and what am I living for, we've got to go to the Creator, to the Author and Perfecter, to God Himself. Why? Because He is the one that has made us. He is the only one who knows why we were born and why we are here today. The good news is that this loving Creator has gone to great lengths to help us understand ourselves through the Bible. So there's three key truths I want us to realize today as we start on this introduction to the transformed life about our design as human beings. And the first is this, that we are marvelously made by God. Just take the human body, the systems and the way that it all works together. Don't think about it too much because you'll suddenly find yourself not being able to walk in a straight line. I've had days like that. Just look at how our brain works. How the eye works and reacts to different light. Isaac Newton once said, there's nothing convinces him more about the awesomeness of God than the human thumb. He just looked at his thumb and he went, how awesome is God? Whether he gave him a thumbs up or not, I don't know. But that's just our physical body. Then think about our inner capacity for reasoning, for emotions and decision making. The ability to give and receive love, to be joyful, to be creative. All of this is due to the fact that we were specially designed as human beings to be the very crown of God's creation. God made us and saw that we were good. He was pleased with His creation. If we look at Genesis 1, the very first chapter of the Bible, we read the following words. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. We find that in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. Notice how we see something of our original identity. We are made in the image of God. Wow. You are sat next to somebody this morning that is made in the image of God. Isn't that incredible? Well, nobody seems to think so, but never mind. I think it's amazing. I'm looking out at a room full of people that are made in the image of God. That is awesome. Made to reflect something of the wonder of the Creator Himself. What a glorious identity to have. Notice also that our place of original belonging was in human community. He made us male and female, not just as individuals left alone or isolated, but called to live and work things out together. We are supposed to be part of community. Then notice how wonderfully we have a high original purpose to be blessed and empowered by God and to be God's co-rulers and stewards, governing the rest of creation for His glory. So if that's the case, if we as human beings have been marvelously made with a glorious identity, a security in our belonging, and a high purpose, why do we struggle so much? Why do we struggle with who we are and what we're about? I think part of it is because, like the ugly duckling, we fail to realize how marvelous we've been made by a God that loves us. We rarely think of ourselves in these terms. We compare ourselves to others who we think are better than us. We rarely think of ourselves as made in the image of God. But our problem, I think, goes a lot deeper as humans. It's not just that we fail to appreciate our original design, but something has fundamentally gone wrong. We have not only been marvelously made, but here's the second truth, that we are fatally flawed. Something similar but worse has happened to humanity. Just look at our lives. Look at the world in which we live in now. That there are more people being pushed out from where they're supposed to live, being forced to travel to find somewhere to call secure. That every single day somebody out there is attacking somebody else. And it only takes a few seconds to realize it's not working. Having been made in the image of their creator, we see in Genesis 3 how human beings turned their backs on God and thought they could do it better themselves. And as a result, we're separated from Him and cut off from His life, hidden in shame, resulting in a dysfunction in their identity, in their belonging, and their purpose. The Bible presents a picture of this tragic consequence in Romans 3, where it says, "Since then, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," which makes us utterly incapable of living the glorious lives for which God has designed us to live. Whether you are aware of the mess and shame or you feel that you're okay, all of us naturally live way below what God has intended for us. We never quite hit the bar. We never quite get it right. We have suffered a serious dysfunction, though there are still aspects of our lives that are dimly reflecting our noble design. If there's anything good in you, it's because God created you that way. But essentially, our true identity has been messed up. Since our security and our identity comes from God, and we no longer live in right relationship with Him, we look in all the wrong places to fulfill our lives. The same is true with our need to belong and have ultimate purpose. We try and look everywhere else but the one place we should do, which is to God. If we look honestly at ourselves, all of us at some time have wrestled, or maybe even wrestling right now, with the symptoms of this malfunction. Right now, you might be struggling with an aspect of your identity. You may feel shame for the things that you've done. You may be beset with fears, including the fears of what people might actually think of you. If people actually knew the truth, What would they think? You may be unhappy with how you look, wishing you were someone else. You may be overly driven or constantly striving to prove yourself to others or even to yourself that you are actually good enough. You may have symptoms of not belonging. You might have loads of Facebook friends, but no one really knows you. Or you might drink too much to help you act boldly to fit in with the in crowd. Or you may be in a group but always feel like you're actually on the outside and alone. You may also have symptoms of lack of ultimate purpose. Yeah, you've got a job, but maybe even a success, and it may be even a successful one, but there's still something lacking of real significance. Several years ago, tennis star Boris Becker was at the very top of the tennis world, yet he was actually on the brink of suicide. He said, "I had won Wimbledon twice. I was rich. I had all the material possessions I needed, but I had no inner peace. I was a puppet on a string." Becker is not the only one to feel that sense of emptiness. Jack Higgins, the author of such successful novels as The Eagle Has Landed, was asked what he would have liked to have known as a boy growing up. His answer is simple, that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. So where on earth does that leave us? I think it leaves us in a desperate need of rescue and restoration. But the good news is that we can be totally transformed. How? Because Jesus came from heaven to earth and modeled a transformed life for us. Then through his death on the cross, he came and he paid the debt for us, for all the disobedience we've ever done in our lives and that the whole of humanity has ever done. And even better than that, he also came to show us that not even death can separate us from the love of God. And he died and he rose again to show that he has all power and all authority. Jesus comes to fix our inner dysfunction. If we were a supercomputer, he came to fix our hard drive. He gives us a glorious, new, transformed identity. He gives us a place of belonging. He presses the reset button and restores our default setting so that we can live out our lives as God intended us to do so. When we become Christians, God does an amazing, immediate work in us. He wipes the slate clean. And then an ongoing work in us. It's an amazing transformation. As I can personally testify, that I know there was a point in my life where God set things right in my life between me and him. But it's been an ongoing thing. And there must be times where he looks at me and goes, "What are you doing?" But each and every day, his grace is sufficient for me. And it's sufficient for you. And his love for us knows no end. The first step to a transformed life is to become a Christian or to be in Christ. If you haven't made that step or you're not sure, that can I encourage you to take that step of faith? For me, I'd heard it all. I got to a place where I knew what the Bible was about. I'd been an altar boy. I'd been a good lad. And I made a few mistakes. But there came a day where I knew that for myself, I had to make that step and say, "Lord, I give my life to you." At 6'9", it scared me to think I was going to lose control of who I was, when in reality, it's about giving back to my Creator the steering wheel of my life and saying, "Lord, by your Spirit, make me new. Make me who you planned for me to be." And it's been an amazing journey so far, and I pray it continues. And I pray that for you as well. But that's just the beginning. Because it's possible to be in Christ but not really know it or live in the good of it. It's not enough to simply become a Christian, to feel like you've got the ticket. Because God wants us to grow in our relationship with Him. To keep each day on that journey of discovering who we actually are in Christ. And then what it means to live our lives in the light of this. And that's the focus of this series. Looking at the wonderful portrait of the transformed life that we find in Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. Focusing on those first three chapters of his letter. But right the way through it, what we'll see is that Paul's focus is on the phrase, in Christ. In the words of the Message translation of Ephesians 1:11, it says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. So over the next few weeks, we'll be exploring in some detail the implications of us actually being in Christ. We can have a new identity. We are now made brand new, made right with God. We can become children of God, that we can become holy and secure. Moreover, in Christ, we now have a new place of belonging. We belong to the family of God. How incredible is that, that each one of us here could be in the family of God, the people of God. And in Christ, we can now have a new purpose. It's possible for us to know it to be true, but for us to be unaware of it, still confused, still insecure, lacking in purpose. We won't fully comprehend it by just listening to this once. We've got to keep coming back to it and accepting it each and every day for ourselves. And it's not just enough to understand it in our minds. We've got to know it in our hearts as well. To know that the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. So that's where we're going to go on this new journey over this next couple of months. And we're going to be learning in different ways. And there's five different ways we're going to be learning this. But my prayer is that we don't just think of this, oh, it's just another program that Pastor Ian and Pastor Andrew and the team have decided we're going to do just to fill a bit of time. But that for each and every one of us, it's about coming to that place where we fully understand who we actually are, what we are made for. And so it started this morning, really, with Sunday teaching over in the mornings over this next few weeks is going to be looking at the chapters of Ephesians 1 to 3. Please come ready to worship, to receive from God, and to gain this fresh revelation of what a transformed life might look like. But also, if you're in a home group or you signed up for a home group, there's going to be opportunity to come each week. Resources are available to your home group leaders to take you through and discuss what you've heard on the Sunday morning and to dig deeper into God's Word and to also see another little short video about the topic and to discuss it, ask questions of it, even come back, bring questions to us if you need to. Andrew will answer them. But it's a time for us to pray for each other and encourage each other and build that sense of community that you're not doing this on your own. But then there's also, as Andrew's already mentioned, the daily devotional, which is a 50 days of just taking up to about 15 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day maximum. Just to read a bit of God's Word, read a bit of a devotional, and think, how am I going to apply this to my life today? 15 minutes a day could transform your life forever if you let God in. There'll also be a weekly memory verse, which is a great way of getting to know the Word of God into your life yourself. Some of you know a few years ago, I foolishly decided with a group of friends we were going to cycle from Preston to Cornwall. It seemed like a good idea. me on a bike at the best of times isn't a pretty sight. And as we were going, there were a couple of days that were, I have to say, were probably the two hardest days of my life. My bike was falling apart, although I didn't realize it. My wheel was slightly buckled, so when I tried to go up hills, it just wasn't going. I got to a point where it was raining hard. Everybody else has left me behind, and the wind was blowing at me, and this body is just acts like a human sail. And I was near a bridge, and I thought, do I throw my bike over and just walk back to Preston? I was somewhere in Devon by this time. And then it was at that point that actually Bible verses started coming into my head. And I started to remember God's promises and how he is faithful to us. And he gives us the strength that we need. I'm thinking, where are these coming from? And it was only weeks later that I realized it's stuff that I'd heard here. Verses that had been read out to us in the youth group and stuff that we'd studied. That God soaks into our minds and into our hearts and allows them to come out when we need them. So I think memory verses are important, because when we get to the rock bottom, it's at those moments, at those things that we've soaked up out of God's word for ourselves, come back out just to keep us on track. But then there's another thing we're going to be doing as well, which is the action steps. And I think this could be scary. Because it's not just about learning it up here, but it's about putting it into practice. So each week there'll be opportunity for you to put into practice what you've learned and now understand about yourself and your relationship in Christ. That it's not just about you looking good, but about helping people out there to understand who they can be in Christ as well. So as we start this journey, will you commit to learning in these five ways? Just like the start of a health regime, Joanna and I have just started a diet plan. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. We're doing this 5-2 one. I don't know if you've heard of it yet. You can eat what you want for 5 days, but then you've got to fast for 2 days. What a stupid idea that is. And it's meant to be doing me good. Reality is it is, but it doesn't mean to say it has to be easy. And just like a diet plan, we have to be focused and disciplined if we want to see results. Do you know, I believe in the next couple of months, we could see a transformation in this church like never before. That if over 200 people, and many of you are in this room, actually get hold of this, an understanding of who we are in Christ, of all that he has done for us, this church will be like never before. We can have many great programs, and we do. We can have many great ministries, and we do. But unless we have a full understanding of who we are in Christ, what's the point? Because we keep just scrabbling around for different answers. But let's watch what God will do as he transforms us in Christ into who we are, who we are supposed to be individually, but who God wants us to be for the future as a church. That as we see and fulfill our glorious purpose in Christ. So my final question to you this morning is, are you in Christ? Or is your life more like the ugly duckling? That you're hiding away, trying to find out where you fit in life. When the reality is he has made you to be a beautiful part of his creation. God wants to start a glorious work of transformation in each of our lives. You might not be sure, or perhaps you feel you've gone away from God. That you're not good enough. Let me tell you today, you are because he says you are, and he has done all the work for you. Now's the time to recommit or make a brand new start. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that as we start this new series, it's not just about doing a new teaching series, but that we grab hold with both hands for each of us in our own lives, these amazing truths that we are marvelously made by you. And we want to give you the glory for that. But also, Lord, that we realize that we are fatally flawed and there's nothing we can do about it. But we thank you and praise you for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you died for each and every one of us. And Lord, I pray that also we will come to that place where we can know a total transformation by your Spirit. That we will each get to a place where we can say, I know who I am. I know what I'm about, and I am secure because God is my rock. I ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.